Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So Delta has announced big changes to its frequent flyer program. Starting in 2015, the airline says it will no longer award miles based on, well, the number of miles. Instead, the number of rewards miles will depend on the price of the ticket. And United Airlines announced plans to crack down on the size of carry-on bags, sending travelers with oversized carry-ons back to the counter to check the bag. We will find out if that means you have to go through security again. Here to give us more details and perhaps some advice on how to cope with these changes is Associated Press airline reporter Scott Mayerwitz. Hi, Scott. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
And listeners, anything you want to say or ask about those two changes or other ways the airlines are either annoying or pleasing or just changing the rules, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org with your questions, your tips and tricks, anything else. And why are they changing the miles program to not be based on miles?
This is a push by the big airlines, Delta, United, American, to get more high-paying business passengers. And Delta's the first one to come out there and say, we don't really care how long you're on our plane. We care how much you're spending. And this is really a way to reward those people who buy those last-minute tickets, go international destinations, and spend thousands of dollars on airfare compared to a traveler like me who, looks for a $200 flight to Florida and wants the miles from that.
So they're rewarding business travelers and penalizing vacation travelers?
Yeah, you know, Delta says that they're going to come out with more rewards and more options out there. They released their chart yesterday. It looks a lot like the chart we have right now. It's the actual earning that really shocked me personally. You know, I looked at a $230 flight from New York to Orlando. Great place to escape when it's cold out right now. That actual ticket.
One way or round trip?
Round trip.
Whoa.
$230. Yeah. You can take it March 24th, nonstop from LaGuardia. I looked at that ticket, and $193 of that fare is what's actually going to Delta. The rest of it goes to the government and various taxes and fees. Delta's only giving you miles on those $193.
Really?
So it's even smaller than you'd think. And if you take a look at it, right now, if you fly 2014 to Orlando, you get 1,900 miles round trip for that. Next year, if you buy that $230 ticket, it'll come out to 967 miles. You know, it's about half the mileage.
So what do they get from that? Is it that people are redeeming these miles for, you know, lower cost flights or free flights, and they're losing that much money based on it, that they would alienate folks over that?
Yeah, they come away from this saying the people who go ahead and book a ticket to Florida, I hate to say that they don't want you as customers because they do need to fill some seats on the plane, but those passengers, they think, don't really care about their miles and are going to pick the cheapest ticket. So if JetBlue is $10 cheaper, people will fly on JetBlue. If United is $10 cheaper, they'll go that route.
And with the new system, I see different levels of SkyMile members will earn different amounts of points, and the fare class that people book will affect how many miles are awarded to. So it's not just based on how much money you're spending?
No. And this is something that the airlines, they like to reward their favorite passengers, those who fly a lot. A lot of people get already double miles if you fly and you're a top-tier person. But it was funny. I did the math there too. If a top-tier person flies that same Orlando route, they might get 4,000 miles today for it, but they're only going to get 2,000 miles if they're paying that $230 fare next year. So it really is focusing on how much you're spending. If you're spending $900 to go to Florida, you benefit.
So here's a reward miles call from Brian in Manhattan. Brian, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, you know, the airlines have created their own problem, and that's by offering credit cards and different ways for people to get additional miles. And they have a lot of people now with a lot of miles. Those people are the ones who are actually getting the seats. Let me give you a perfect example. Right now, you can go on United Airlines if you have 350,000 miles, even if you're a premier member, which is at the lowest level, and you can get a round trip to Australia in business class. If you're a 1K customer, which is the highest level below global services, you can't get that, even if you have the global upgrades that you've been rewarded by 1K. So they've created their own problems, you know, and they're trying to dig their way out. And I'm sympathetic on a certain level to the highest paying customers being rewarded. And obviously it's not working for my wife, who is 1K and can't use her global upgrades.
Scott?
Yeah, a part of it is that the airlines have changed the way that they fill planes. It used to be a few years ago that they wanted to have the most flights from New York to somewhere, and they've dramatically cut back the number of seats out there, saying we no longer want to fill that last 10-20% of the plane with people with discount fares or mileage. And what that has done is it's actually reduced the number of mileage rewards out there for people. And the credit card side, it's big money for these companies. The frequent flyer programs are actually more profitable for the airlines in many cases than the flights themselves.
Let me get to this. And, Brian, thank you for your call. Let me get to this carry-on story. United, in this case, they announced plans to crack down on oversized carry-on bags. And it's going to have more of those boxes that let you check the size of your bag at security or make you check the size of your bag at security. And if someone at security notices it's too big, because they do give you carry-on bag measurement parameters if you look at their website or whatever, they plan to send the travelers back to check the bag at the counter and, of course, pay $25 probably. Is this just about bringing in more revenue?
You know, United says it's not. I think a lot of people are a little skeptical because the airline has been very aggressive about getting more revenue through bag fees, extra leg room, and other add-ons. But United says, look, you get on a plane and we don't have enough room for everyone's bags, and people are bringing these giant suitcases plus a purse plus a laptop bag and a shopping bag and a stuffed animal, and next thing you know, there's no space for those people who follow the rules. And I'm personally torn on this one. Part of me thinks, you know, yeah, maybe they are going for revenue, and part of me thinks I'm sick of getting banged around on a plane by everyone else who's not following the rules.
And I think we have a carry-on call from Anderson in Harlem. Anderson, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. I travel quite a bit to Brazil to see family, and it is exactly the issue with the carry-on that I encountered many times. And thankfully, it's been changing gradually, especially with American Airlines. You know, people want to bring everything with them, large suitcases, too many items exactly, we just mentioned here. And now, lately, I've been noticing the crackdown on these suitcases and the packages, and we're having now actually on-time departures. It's much easier to get in and out of the plane. And, you know, I think actually in the end is a positive thing because you cannot bring everything you have with you as carry-on. You know.
Anderson, thank you very much. So there's a quality of life issue here, according to that frequent flyer.
Yeah, and it's an on-time issue, as he mentioned there. You know, Spirit Airlines, which is one of the few airlines that actually charges you more to put a bag in the overhead bin than checking it underneath. You know, it's $35 to bring your carry-on on board. They actually say they shaved time off of their boarding process by doing this, and now the flights are actually leaving on time. So there is a benefit to this for travelers.
I believe it. In fact, we have a few comments supporting that position, saying pretty much the same thing that Anderson just said, and not a lot of revolt on this, against this at the moment. But, you know, I guess it depends who you are. It certainly can happen that you're one of the passengers who follows the rules, and by the time you get on the plane, the bins are already loaded with gigantic bags, and there's no room for your regular size bag.
Yeah, and that's happened to me several times when I've been, you know, the last one to board, and they say, we're sorry, sir, we know that's a really small bag. There's no place for it. And that's really what United says is driving this. But if you look at the security checkpoints and how strict they seem to be there in sending people back to the counter, you know, they got about $640 million in check bag fees last year, and they want more.
Vernon on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Vernon.
Hey, what's going on, Brian? You know, I'm a professional musician. I travel a lot. I just came back from Perth, Australia,
All right.
Playing the Soundwave Festival. And I carry custom instruments with me all the time, usually in a double gig bag, two guitars. The guitars are really expensive. And these rules kind of force me into a almost no-win situation because I travel with gear and I'll occasionally we'll find that the TSA has completely turned things around, you know, unwired things. And the idea of having to check guitars that are, they're not liable for a guitar that's worth $4,000. They're not going to do it.
Right. You can't put an expensive instrument under the plane, right?
It's who's going to be responsible at the end of the day if I open the case and there's real damage.
And you can't bring it on the plane either?
Oh, no, I can bring it on the plane. I do. And usually there's ways to make it work in, you know, with the kind of bins they have for long-haul flights. But the idea of having to go through security, having to go through the boarding process and then having to go back to take the guitar to check it is crazy to me.
Yeah. Vernon, thank you. Good luck up there.
Thank you.
And on stage. Musicians, instruments, special category.
Yeah, and it's a big problem between both security and the airlines. There's no consistency out there. And that's one of the things actually with this whole change. United didn't change its policy. It's just actually enforcing it. And American and Delta have very similar policies. The bags have to be pretty small. But the, you know, enforcement has been very haphazard out there. And every once in a while, you get a great flight attendant who will make a special accommodation, put that guitar in that first class cabinet and make sure it's safe. And other times you have ones who say, I'm sorry, it's the rules. We have to check it.
Let's see if we can do one more quick question, one more quick answer. Andrew in Midtown, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
I have a question for you. So I've noticed that when two airlines merged, United and Continental, for example, we saw an 87% devaluation of the value of those miles. And then AA and U.S. Airways merged, and they take away lounge access for Amex Platinum. What role does consolidation have in the industry in regards to frequent flyers?
Great question.
You know, overall, the number of seats out there that are available for rewards has gone down. Prices have gone up faster than inflation. And there are just less choices out there. You know, if you had an airline with four flights, a lot more seats. With two, you don't.
And more competition, more favorable rules to the consumer, right? Maybe.
Maybe.
It's complicated.
Depends on the situation.
More collusion? All right. Well, we will leave it there for today, partly unresolved, with Scott Meerwitz, who reports on airlines for the Associated Press. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
And everybody, whether you are walking or riding or training or flying or going on a boat, have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday.